We've been praying for Sandy and Danny's daughter-in-law, Sean and Joanna. She expecting a little baby boy, and her water broke about 7 months. She's been in hospital a couple of weeks and trying to hang on, they named little boy Liam. He was born last night, and he's doing good. Praise God. Thank God for that. I also had a good report there. Cameron, Bethany, Sandy's granddaughter, Trina's daughter, is engaged to a young man named Cameron. He went in, thought he had pneumonia, and they did some tests, and he had webbing all in his lungs, and they told him it looked like lymphoma. He's only 19 years old, told him he looked like he had lymphoma. Called for prayer. People started praying for him, and they did tests the other day, Friday. And when they did the tests, everything was gone out of his lungs. His lymph nodes were clear. And praise God, they gave him a complete bill of health. There's nothing wrong with the young man. So isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Praise God. There's just a lot of things going on in their family. Y'all ought to be just shouting. Sandy's knees was healed here a while back. She was looking at surgery, and now she's able to get around. God touched her knees. Amen. Praise God. We'll just stay on the Jones family for a few minutes. Danny, he's suffered with back pain for a long time. He would try to ride a motorcycle. They got a motorcycle. He would try to ride with us. He had been in such pain, he just couldn't stand it. He come up, standing right over here, he come up to me after service one Sunday, and he said, "I am sick of this back pain." That's all he said. So I laid hands on him, prayed for him. God healed him. Last week, he rode to Colorado and back on his motorcycle, rode 2,500 miles last week, and didn't have any pain at all. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. So that's just one family. God's awesome. Amen. Thank God for his hope. We have hope in him. At the end of the service, when I get through preaching and we start worship, our ministry team will be up here in front. If you want prayer, come forward, grab somebody, and have them pray for you. We'll pray the prayer of faith with you and believe God's going to touch you. Do what you need. Amen. If you got a need, I know somebody that has the answer. Praise God. Oh, we're going to be talking about, I am so excited about this morning, the message this morning and next Sunday. I'm going to have a hard time staying off next Sunday because I am really, really pumped about next Sunday. We've been talking about fruit, bearing fruit. There's a lot to bearing fruit. We think about bearing fruit. What is bearing fruit? Produce. We're known by the fruit that we bear. You shall know them by their fruit. Jesus talks about the fruit the Galatians talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the demonstration, the evidence of the Spirit. And there's so many different things that we can talk about in this. We need to understand that there's a lot more to it than just going out and trying to bear fruit. There's a conduct, there's a character, there's something that we have to have in us that produces that fruit. We can't do it by ourselves. It's impossible. And we've talked about all that. We've been talking about the power of words, the fruit of our mouth, the power of words. How many stop and think before you speak now? Okay, I'm going to have to go back and preach that again. You should measure your words before they come out of your mouth because they bear fruit. They're either going to bear fruit to condemnation or they're going to bear fruit to blessing. And so you got to be careful what you say, what you allow come out of your mouth. Praise God. Like I've been saying, don't just open your mouth and let everything in your head fall out. That never does any good. It always does damage. And a lot of times when you speak bad things, when you get upset at other people, when other people get to you and get upset, back up and realize that it's really not their actions that you're upset about, it's how those actions have made you feel that you're upset about. And the only reason they've made you feel a certain way is because they have tapped into a deficit inside of you, and you're upset that they revealed that. Come on, somebody. If somebody on the job irritates you and just makes you, you just can't hardly stand to be around them, most likely they have, somehow, they make you feel inadequate in some way. Inadequacy is what usually makes us feel like fighting back. When somebody makes us feel less, they have that ability to make you feel like you're less, like you're inadequate in some way, you know, or whatever. And that's usually the people that we really have a hard time with. Because they reveal a weakness in us that we don't like being revealed. All right? I should not have started out with that because everybody just kind of tightened up now. Now what's he going to say? where are we going with this? Praise God. Well, we've been talking about the power of words. We've been talking about the word, the fruit of our mouth, the power of words. Today we're going to talk about the Word. The Word. Only one time in Scripture is the word Word used as a title. I want you to go back with me to John chapter 15, verse 7. We're going to start out with this, where we've been going for several weeks now. It says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." I mean, no, that's a very positive statement. It shall be done for you. Amen. When God is making a statement that it shall be done, that's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Amen. But Jesus said, "Whatever you desire." Now, that's a powerful statement because we got so many desires. You know, there's a lot of things that we desire that should not come to pass. It would be detrimental. And so he said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Praise God. We're not talking today about just the power of words. We're talking about the power of the Word. The Word. How can a type of conversation, how can a type of expression become a title? And when we look at the expression, let's go to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. This verse has been just debated and argued and all kinds of stuff about whether there's one God, three gods, you know what. And the reason we argue about it is because we totally miss the whole point. You know, we get so bound up in human, finite human ability that we usually miss the whole point, and we turn beautiful, wonderful truths into arguments. We turn these beautiful truths into ways of segregating instead of ways of presenting. And I want you to just listen to this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things are made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. That's a powerful statement. In the beginning was the Word. Now, this is the only time that word, that four-letter word, W-O-R-D, is used as a title. Jesus, the word here, the Bible, is declaring that this is the title of Jesus. Now, I want you to notice that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made through Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Okay? Now, the problem is we get caught up on the in Him, the without Him, and so we don't understand that this was post-birth. This was written post-resurrection. This was written after Jesus had ascended. And so this is associating the physical being of Jesus with the Word. Hopefully I can explain this, okay? Because of our perception, we get confused on things, and that's where arguments and debating come from, is we get confused about the wording and it's our ability to understand, it's our ability to see it. It's only in what we're able to perceive, that's how much truth we know. If we can perceive more, then we can know more truth. But if you can only perceive what your brain allows you to perceive, you're not going to know very much. Okay? We only use 10% of this. There's 90% that God would like to use. But we only use 10%. Can you imagine if we could just let God use 1% of that 90% that's available? Wow. It would be amazing what could be accomplished if we could break out of the 10%. Amen. That come through the fall. Anyway, that's a whole nother message. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the Word. Without Him was not anything, but nothing was made without the Word. Okay? Everything was created by the Word of God. And the word, this is hard to say, the word word. It's hard to talk about words when you're talking about the title word, because anyway, this word used here means the expression of thought, the manifestation of the declaration. The expression of thought. This title means the expression of thought, the manifestation of the declaration. I want you to think with me for a minute. The expression of thought was with God, and it was declared. What the Bible's trying to get across here, what this scripture is trying to get across, was the words that came out of the mouth of God were the expression of His thoughts. But the Word that came out had creative power, and the Word literally created what was made. Okay? Now, reading in the book of John, we are past Jesus. If this would have been pre-Jesus, it would have just said the Word. But then something happened one day. The Word in verse 14, it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I want you to listen to that. The Word became flesh. Now, we're always getting caught up on the flesh part, and we forget that the Word existed from the beginning. Okay? What John is trying to convey here is that God prepared a body and breathed His Word into that body. The Word became flesh. Remember in creation, it says that God said, "Let there be light." Manifestate, declaration. Manifestation, and there was light. Word of God, manifestation of the Word. We get hung up on, well, was Jesus, you know, what was His position before? He was the Word of God. He was the expression of the thoughts of God. And then one day, God said, Let there be light, and there was light. God said, let us make man in our image. God said, let us separate the firmament. God said, and it all happened. But failure came into humanity. We threw all of that away. We separated from the creative word of God. Matter of fact, before Jesus came, there was 400 years of silence. God did not speak for 400 years. America is not 400 years old. We think we've been here a long time. Think about this. God did not speak to humanity through a prophet, angel, or anybody for 400 years. And then one day, a word all of a sudden came to John, and things began to happen again. A word, that which is barren, is going to bring forth. And John came. And the Bible says here that John was not that light, but he came to bear witness of the light. What does the word light mean here? The word light simply means to make obvious or to bring revelation to. John was not the revelation of God. He came to tell us that the revelation is coming. The Word is coming. The Word is about to start creating again. Amen. John, come, saying, the one that's coming after me, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'm not even worthy to take his shoes off his feet, and he's coming, and the Word is going to begin to manifest in the earth again, and you're going to begin to see the glory of God, because the creative spoken Word of God is about to take on human flesh and walk among us and speak. Hallelujah. See, what God was trying to get across to us is that he was simply about to deposit his Word in a human body. Why? Because we couldn't connect to God like he was. But the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, Jesus, you know, we get all confused about this stuff. Jesus was literally the manifestation of the spoken Word of God. He was tangible evidence. We could touch him. We could feel him. We could follow him down a road. We could watch him work. And when Jesus said something, it happened. Jesus walked up to a fig tree and it didn't have any fruit on it, and he cursed it and it died. But then Jesus saw a bunch of lepers coming, saying, if you will, you can make us clean. Well, I can't get on next Sunday's sermon. And he spoke. Come on now. Hang in here with me. See, the Word became flesh. Jesus literally came to speak and manifest the desires of the heart of God. When we watch Jesus, he said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. And the Pharisees just got all beside themselves about that, because they're saying a human being is trying to equate himself with God. What Jesus was saying was, I am simply a fleshly body carrying the manifestation of God's Word. Whoa, come on, somebody. See, everybody wanted to argue about it. Jesus just simply wanted to manifest God. He just wanted to manifest who God was. He just simply wanted to speak as in the beginning. He was the Word. He was the exclamation point. He could whisper and universes come into existence. Every little word that proceeded out of his mouth had creative ability. And we've got to get to the point where we realize the heart of God here. God, remember the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, God knew that before we ever read it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When Jesus said, "I will," what was he saying? He's saying, this is the very thoughts of God. I am expressing God to you in words. Grab hold of it. Can you imagine? This is why Jesus would get frustrated. I mean, can you imagine being a human being infused with the very creative power of the Word of God? And then having a bunch of disciples around you that argued over who is greatest among them? And Jesus is looking at them and saying, you can't even speak right. You stumble over, you can't get anything right, and you're arguing about who's the greatest? And he would know what they were saying. He said, what have y'all been talking about? Nothing. Like raising a bunch of junior high students. Nothing. What are you thinking? What are you been doing? Nothing. And so Jesus would look at him, realizing that he was literally expressing God to them. He was literally, when he would speak, it was all of the wisdom and the expression of God was coming out of his mouth. And he would look at his disciples and they wouldn't even get it. They couldn't even comprehend. And Jesus would simply make this statement, how long am I going to have to be with you? In other words, how many years am I going to have to be down here working? How long is the word going to have to be spoken over and over and over until you get it? And finally, he began to talk about the answer. I'm going to be crucified. And Peter, can you imagine Peter? He couldn't even get things right. I mean, he was one of those guys that got out there and just he needed breath mints just to get the shoe leather out of his mouth. I mean, you know, Peter grabs creation of God, grabs the very expression of the thoughts, intents of God, and says, this isn't going to happen. When you think about that, it will help you understand how silly it is when we make statements like, well, I'm really upset at God. Where's that going to get you? Amen. I had a person tell me one time, I was trying to help them, and they said, well, I'm just really angry with God. I said, well, my goodness, just fall down here and throw yourself a fit. That's surely going to get God's attention and make him change his mind. They said, a fit? That's what you think I'm doing? I said, should I video and make you watch it? You're throwing a fit. I mean, you think that you are somehow powerful enough to recreate God in your image? You don't say, I'm mad at God. You fall down before God and you say, God, I am a failure at everything, but you are almighty, most high. Help me submit my stinking will to your glory. You should crawl into God's presence when you think you're mad at him and say, God, you shouldn't even allow me in here, but you do. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm talking to you. Amen. It don't matter what has went wrong in my life, somehow the Holy Spirit has given me enough wisdom to not try to take it out on God. Instead, I run to him and say, God, I do not understand everything. I don't know everything, and I fail daily, but you do not. And I just come and lay myself at your presence, and God, help me to understand. Help me to push through this. Because I do not get it, but you already got it. And I just need to get it. Come on. Give me something. Amen. Put it on me. So God, Jesus, was the expression of the very thought of God. The flesh, the Word became flesh. Now see, that's where we get confused. It says, in all things created through him, without him was not anything made. They was not talking about the physical body of Jesus. They were talking about the Word. Okay? Is the Word, the same Word that was in the beginning, is the same Word that God deposited in that fleshly human body. Y'all got that? Amen. I preached on this one time down in a church in Arkansas, holding a revival, very first service I preached. I preached on John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And after church, this guy come up to me and he said, Pastor, you're scaring me. I said, what? How'd I scare you? He said, I'm thinking you're a Jesus-only oneness preacher. I said, how's that? He said, you use their verses. I said, you mean those verses don't belong to the rest of us? He said, well, I guess they do. I said, well, how could it be their verses? He said, that's the verses they use. That's the verses they use. I said, well, I want to encourage you. I just redeemed those verses. And now they belong to all of us again. Isn't that awesome? See, this is what we do. We reduce the awesome expression of the Word of God down to a segregating argument. Why do we have to segregate over our arguments? Why can't we simply say we are really kind of stupid, but God is not? And so we can't seem to get this, but God, you help us. Amen? I know that wasn't very polite to say stupid. Betty is sorry that I said that. I took one of those little personality tests the other day, you know, to determine whether you're introvert or extrovert. And I thought, well, I got this. I already know the answer to this. You know, when I come back, said that I was an intelligent introvert. I said, really? So I thought, well, I'm going to go back and take this thing again. I'm going to tweak it this time. I'm going to change some answers. It came back that I was an emotional introvert. Brethren, do not believe everything that you read or hear. That was my introverted side coming out. The Word. How many understand today that we have received the Word? We have received the creative Word of God. He was born in the flesh, lived among us, demonstrated God, gave us the character and personality of God. If you get confused about who Jesus is or who God is and what his character is, just go read about Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He also said, I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. What was he saying? I am nothing but a mirror. I'm showing you the image of God. I'm showing you who God is. I've come to show you who God is. To the point that when Jesus died on the cross, when they whipped him in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He said, I would like for you to take this away from me. Why? Because everything that was about to happen is so opposite the word. See, if Jesus had not laid down his expression of God's word in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they arrested him and beat him and whipped him, his body would have healed immediately as they was whipping him. There would have been no blood. There would have been no wounds. Why? Because he was the expression of the word. They couldn't have crucified him because you cannot kill the word. But Jesus had to release the creative ability of God in order to submit himself to the cross. If he had not done that, they couldn't have crucified him, because they couldn't have taken his life away from him. His life was literally rooted in the very beginning of creation. Everything he was, everything he is, the body that carried him around was serving him. It was not him, it was the vehicle that the expression of God's thoughts in word and demonstration, that's what it was writing in. And so when a human body is filled with the creative words and power of God, do you really think that body is going to suffer and be taken away or killed? No, it would live forever. What was it God said about Adam and Eve? We got to get to the tree of life, because if we don't, they will live forever. Why? Because the word was in them. So when we understand that Jesus was the literal expression of the thoughts of God, walking this earth, walking in the ways of God, showing us the very expression of God, then we realize that today Jesus said, the letter kills, or that was Paul, letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. They're spirit and they are life. The words Jesus spoke are spirit and they are life. Now let's get back to the verse we started with. If you abide in me, what are you abiding in? The word. The creative word of God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. What is his words? They are spirit and they are life. So if you are abiding in the creative word of God and his creative words abide in you, then you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. This is not some verse that somebody that is totally carnal 24/7 and all of a sudden has a need can go to and say, God, you said right here, whatever I desire when I pray, you got to give it to me. No, he doesn't. It's the prerequisite is abiding in the creative word, and the creative words abiding in you, and they are directing your desires. They are that you're literally living in him. And then when you speak, it is not your words that are speaking, but it is the creative life of God coming out of your mouth, and then it happens. The wonderful thing is, you do not have to be an ordained pastor for this verse to work. Matter of fact, no title is required here. It's just the blood of Jesus. Just the blood of Jesus. You enter into the holy place through the blood of Jesus. You come into his presence. You learn to abide in the words of God. These words are powerful. This life is so deceptive that it literally rips us away from us on a daily basis. We get in the presence of God and pray, and we feel the life of the Word of God. And then we walk out into this world of disappointment, and we quickly succumb to it and just walk as a disappointed person. Somebody that has no ability or power. Why? Because we simply give it away. Because of what reasoning and man's perception labels God as. We look at the Word. Matter of fact, a lot of you have probably read verses like that. Speak to this mountain. If you say this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea. You look at it, and to you, that's not yours because you couldn't do that. That's next Sunday. But when we understand today that it is not us, it is not our abilities, it is our yieldedness to the very Word that was from the very beginning, and we yield to that Word, and that Word is what creates. We can quote a verse over and over and over and not get it, still not have the Word. The Word is when it comes alive inside of us and it becomes us, literally becomes us. I've seen this happen many times, and yet over the years, I have to constantly try to get back to it all the time. And I'm always getting on to myself. How many of y'all ever just get on to yourself? I'm constantly telling myself, how did you let go of this? Why did you quit doing this? You know, you succumb to this stuff. You succumb to the negativity of this world, I guess. I don't know. The familiarity of this world. And you just get in the grind. You just start floating along. But then I'll get on to myself. I'll say, hey, whoa, hey, why are you putting up with this stuff? You know the Word. Get back in the Word. Start living the Word again. And when we live the Word, then that's when things begin to manifest in our lives. When I was young, still pretty young, just a kid, I was 19, 20 years old, something like that. You 20-year-old, listen, you got so many years. In your 20s, you think, you know, life is just, I'm running behind. You got to get all kinds of stuff. You better do it when you're young, because once you start getting up in your 50s, you start kind of narrowing down your perspectives. Okay, what do I actually think that I want to, what do I want to spend my energy on? Yeah, okay, enough said about that. I've been declaring lately, some of y'all are going to laugh. You laugh at me anyway. People think I'm crazy when I share the thoughts of my heart. But lately I've been saying, God, I accept back into my body the strength of my 20s. And I'm saying that every single day. And I'm going to keep saying that. Amen. Because I was an energizer bunny in my 20s. I did not wear down. Never, ever. And I'm thinking, oh, wouldn't that not be nice? Pastor Daryl Friend said, youth is a wonderful thing. It's a shame it's wasted on kids. But we have to understand the Word. The Word is powerful. And every once in a while we get these little glimpses of the Word and we act on it. And things happen. And why we don't stay there, it confuses me. Because like I said, I'm always getting on to myself. Something will happen, revelation will come alive, and I'll operate in the Word, and wonderful things happen, and next thing you know, I'm complaining about things in everyday life like it's just impossible. How do we do that? I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out, but I don't know. When I was in my 20s, some of you all heard this story. You're going to hear it again because it's really good. I worked for this line contractor. We built cross-country phone lines. And I was the only guy. I was a young preacher at the time. I was already preaching the gospel. And I would have to travel. I was just home once in a while. And so I lived with this crew most of the time. And I was the only guy that my boss trusted. Because the rest of them, you never knew what they were going to do. I would show up on Monday morning, and we'd have to go bail them out of jail so we could get some work out of them. And, you know, it was like that all the time. I would have to go in their motel rooms and literally drag them out of their motel rooms and load them in the trucks. And you know, I was like mama. I was 19 years old, and I was mama to these people. And so I would drag them out of their rooms, get them in the trucks. This is the kind of world I lived in. And so whenever we would finish a job, we would get all the lines built in an area. We would get it finished. Then the rest of the crew would leave for the next job, and my boss would leave me behind with my pickup and the stats and everything on all the lines. And I would go back and run every line that we built, and I would check every number on a pole. I would check every clamp. I would check the whole line and make sure that we didn't leave anything undone. Check all the anchors. I would go back and for a few days I would redrive every line and check everything, make sure that it was done. And so one day I was doing this. They'd already left. I was all by myself out, and I'd been driving through these fields, walking these fields and driving for hours all day long, not paying attention to where I was at. All I knew is I was following the lines that we had built. And then he gave me some lines that we had not built, but they wanted me to check. And so I was following those lines and just kept getting off. I mean, I was out in the middle of nowhere. I didn't see any houses. I didn't see any people. It was just dirt roads and nothing. This is up close, somewhere in northern Missouri, or the center part of Missouri. And I just driving along, and the last pole on this line was a dead-end pole, you know, that's got the anchor on it, and it was the last pole, and I was just driving along there, and as I come around this corner, all of a sudden, here's this new road being built, and I thought, where's that go? And it was just rocks piled up. You know how these new roads are when they're building a big rock bed, and it was probably 13, 15 feet high. And the road that I was on just dead-ended right into this new construction. And it all looked dry. It all looked, you know, didn't look like there was a problem. I had a two-wheel drive Chevy pickup, 62 pickup. Awesome pickup. I drove out to where the pole was because it looked dry. What I didn't know is it was only dry about that deep. I drove out in that, and my truck just sunk. I mean, just sunk. On the frame, on the body. The truck's in gear. And I'm sitting there looking around, the mud's up to the doors on my truck already. And I get out, and I'm wading around in this deep mud, and my truck's still in gear, sitting there with the tires spinning in this mud. Just nothing there. And it's getting evening time. And I'm thinking, I'm spending the night in my truck out here, and I don't know where I'm at. Tomorrow I have to walk somewhere and try to find out where I'm at and get some help, get somebody to pull me out of here. That's back before the days of cell phones. We survived. Betty never knew where I was at until I pulled in the driveway, and we survived. So I'm sitting there in this mud. I'm trudging around out there. So I start carrying big rocks. And I start trying to fill this mud up to where I could get traction on something, and it would just the rocks would just sink. And my truck's still sitting there just idling, tires spinning. Just seems hopeless. But there was this thing I'd been doing every night before I went to bed. I was reading the book of Acts. And I would pray. I would read the Bible and I would pray over that and say, God, reveal this to me. Help me to understand it. And I was getting pumped, you know. I was getting really excited about God and about God's power. And, you know, I was wanting to see the power of God. And I was so excited. And so I get back in my truck and I'm sitting there, things still in gear, tires still spinning, sitting there. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden, I heard the word in my spirit. Speak to it. Speak to it. If you speak to this mountain. You know what I felt immediately instead of inspiration? Conspicuous. When I heard that speak to it, I was in the middle of nowhere. And I started looking around to see if anybody was watching. Aren't we weird? And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I feel this embarrassment. I feel this apprehension. Nobody can see me. I can shout anything I want. Nobody's going to hear it. But I feel weird about doing this. And then all the thoughts go through, what if you do it and it doesn't work, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so I sit there, and so I gave my truck some gas. Whom, whom. Rooster tails. Just watery mud. Just. But the word was in me, and it just kept coming up in my spirit. Speak to it. Speak to it. So finally, I said, in the name of Jesus, put my hand up like this. I don't know why I thought I had to touch the dash. You know how we are. I could have got out of the truck, got out of the mud, and said, get out of there. And it'd have to happen. I just lost some of you there. So I put my hand up like this, put my foot on the accelerator, and I said, in the name of Jesus, truck, come out of this mud. And I touched the dash and hit the accelerator at the same time. Now remember, this is a truck sitting there idling, spinning, no pressure on the tires. That truck took off so fast, my head hit the window. It was just single cab. My head hit the back window. I didn't just come out of the mud. I come out of the mud in a two-wheel drive truck, climbed all the way up that rocky embankment, and next thing I know, I was sitting on top of this new road. And I slammed on the brakes. Yeah. I slammed on the brakes because I almost went off the other side. I hit the brakes. And I'm sitting there, and all I could do is sit there, and I was going, it happened. It happened. It happened. It happened. I mean, that's the time to be embarrassed. When you're standing there, sitting there looking like something's wrong with you, saying, it happened. It happened. It happened. It happened. I turned the truck off, and I got out, and I went back, and there was no trace except just a muddy hole. It just already filled back in. And there was tracks up those rocks. I mean, those rocks, some of those rocks was, I mean, you know those big, huge rocks. And there was tracks all the way up that in a two-wheel drive pickup. And I'm up there, and finally, I start being okay with this. And I start walking around my truck saying, woo, it happened. Glory. And then all of a sudden the thought hit me. How do I get down from here? Where does this road go? And it was new, so it was just all rough and stuff. And so I was in a whole nother predicament. Somehow God got me up there, and now I'm worried about getting back down. You understand what I'm talking about? I know some of y'all think this is way out there and weird and all that kind of stuff. Well, God's word is way out there from what we are. He is the creative word. When we get a hold of the creative word, let me just say, if if Jesus would have been standing where I was standing, which he was, but I couldn't quite grasp that, if his words would have been speaking, and they were, if I could have grasped that, I would have got out of my truck and said, truck, get back down there. And it would have went back down there. Y'all saying, now you're really weird. No, that's just how hard it is for us to understand Jesus and the things that he said. We're going to talk more about that next week. But sometimes we need to get over the embarrassment and the inhibited thing and just start speaking to stuff like we've been talking. Talk to it. Talk to it. We put ourselves in such, you know, like I told you about the guy that was beating everybody up over in India in one of our crusades, just hurting people, spinning like a top with his arms straight out. I guess tall guy, spinning. His arm, he had quite a wingspan, and he was spinning like a top and just taking people's heads off. I mean, just pow, 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 and just disrupting everything. Just a demon manifestation. And I run out there and grabbed hold of him. We were up front praying, and I looked up and saw this taking place, and I started shoving through people. I don't know why I had to go out there. It's because I didn't really understand the word. So I started shoving through people. I run out there, and I grabbed him by the shirt. Had to reach up. I grabbed him by the shirt. I said, you're not doing this here. And about that time, he had his hands up like this. And about that time, he goes, wham! Think what happens when you got your head bent back already and somebody with all their force and demonic power all of a sudden goes, boom! Planted my back of my head on my back. I mean, I thought he broke my neck just like that. And the first thoughts come out of my mind, I was still not understanding the word. When something like that happens, it's amazing how strong your flesh thinks it is. We can't handle this in the first place. And when something like that happened, and so I'm still hanging on this guy's shirt, he just about broke my neck. I look back up at him, and the first words come out of my mouth is, that had better been a devil. In other words, I'm wanting to believe that that wasn't your will that did that, because I'm going to have to do something about that. I was a little mad at that point. Probably the reason that my next prayer went the way that it did, because John Avasky, remember him? He was pastor here. He saw that happen. He runs up, he was with me, runs up and grabs this guy from behind. And John didn't like a lot of action. And he grabs this guy from behind, and about that time the guy takes off again with John in tow. And when he went by me, you know, all of a sudden here he goes, and I see John. And as he's taking off, all I can hear is John going, oh God, oh God, oh God. That's all I can hear. And at that point, I mean, how do you not get tickled about something like that? And so I'm back there laughing, just cracking up, because here's John spinning, saying, oh God, oh God. And so if I would have understood the word, I could have just simply spoke to that situation. And it would have had to have stopped. But I think I was still mad about the fact that he hit me. And I said, God, give me strength to take this guy down. And so I take off running. I'm chasing this guy. There had been up to 10 to 12 pastors hanging on this guy, and he was spinning. Just throwing them like, you know, like rag dolls. And I said, God, give me strength to take this guy down. He's manifesting demon spirits here. It's like what is this, some kind of demon festival? I don't want the devil getting credit. And so I take off running. And I run and I catch up with him. He's big. I run and catch up with him. I pick him up in the air, flipped him upside down in the air, and drove his head into the ground. I've just come to share the love of Jesus. I wish we'd have had this on video. Benaiah was supposed to be videoing, and he was so taken back by what was going on that he was standing up there with the video camera pointing down going. So we didn't get any of it on video. But this, I drove this guy's head into the ground and pinned him. Still to this day, don't know how I did this, but I pinned him, pinned his arms and his head to the ground. His legs were sticking straight up in the air, and they were going like helicopters, spinning. And he was screaming these blood-curdling screams. I mean, his eyes about this big, just screaming these blood-curdling screams. And again, I got tickled. I start laughing. I'm holding this guy down, got him pinned. He's looking at me, these wild eyes just screaming on top of his lungs. And I'm holding him down, and I start laughing. And I said, is that all you can do? Just scream? I was still torqued at him. Guy was, we cast the demons out of him. He was delivered that night. Amen. But I told you that story, because I like to tell it. But also because, see, if I could have just got more of the concept of the Word, that I had the very creative words of Jesus, then I could have done like Jesus and just simply said, come out. Not touched the guy, not done anything. I could have just simply spoke to him. But I didn't have that concept. I couldn't separate my fleshly being from the Word. Amen. But how many know that it's possible? It's possible. Praise God. So we need to quit doing this back and forth stuff. In the Word, out of the Word. In the Word, out of the Word. In the Word, out of the Word. And we need to get in the Word of God. If you abide in me, the creative Word of God, and my creative words abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. You know, you ever have these pictures while you're talking? As I was just saying that, I was picturing myself standing there watching the lawnmower mow the lawn. See, there again, my flesh was trying to connect to this thing. Yeah, stand on the front porch going, yeah, mow around that, yeah. See, that's why God has to get a hold of the desires of our heart. Because God's saying, oh, you lazy outfit, get out there and mow that lawn. You need to exercise. But the Word, the creative Word, all right. Praise God. The creative Word of God. Jesus was the spoken and breathed expression of the thoughts of God. And he took on flesh and dwelt among, the Word took on flesh and dwelt among, demonstrated God's thoughts. Stand with me if you would. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to be talking about the statements that Jesus made and realizing the difference between our thoughts and God's thoughts. Our perception, God's perception. But how many would like to experience more of the Word manifesting in your life? Amen. Praise God. This morning I was praying. My OCD, I'm just a little bit OCD about stuff. And when I pray before services, I have, for whatever reason, I always walk up here and line myself up and I pray right here. I don't know why. But I pray right here. Every service, right in the center of the church, lined up, just my thing. And I knelt down there this morning, and I said, Jesus, I want you to come sit in the house and heal every person, every broken heart, every wounded spirit, every afflicted, infirm body, every tormented person. just like you did when the Word walked in the flesh among us. It says that Jesus sat in the house and people from all around came to Him and He healed every one of them. See, that same Jesus, that same Word is still alive today. And so I said, Jesus, I just want you, I want the Word to come and sit in the house. Heal the backsliding. Heal the sins. Heal the infirmities.